You know, I was been praying a lot for about this class for quite a while now. Daniel first approached me about a month ago, and it took me 2 weeks to respond to him, to tell him, you know, that I have a topic. And he asked me if there's any other topic I would like to talk about, and I said, no, this is the only one, because this has actually been a topic that's been on top of my mind for quite a while now. I think a lot about, you know, our body of Christ, and what does that mean, and what does that mean as I am a part of it, and as my fellow friends, family are a part of it. What does that really mean? What does it mean to be a body of Christ? So it's been jelling on my mind for like a long time now, I would say 3 years. Trying to figure out who I am. You would think that by now I would know, right? Back up a little bit. My name is Nancy. Nancy Hu, my husband's sitting right there. We have, he's here to support me. You know, if I lose my mind, I can just look there and I'll kind of hopefully get back on track. It's my, he's my steady person in my life. But we have two boys, a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old, and, you know, I kind of basically grew up in this church, you know, Justin sitting right there, and I remember when he was in 7th grade, and would be at a retreat. Him as a 7th grader, and now he's married, he's, you know, a teacher, and basically the mentor for a lot of little high school or junior high kids. So it's kind of amazing that, you know, I grew up in this church on the Ivy side, and, you know, there's certain people on the Alhambra side that we grew up with, and I thought this would be a good topic to bring, kind of get a good scope of who we are and how is it that we can all work unified, right? Yeah, I recorded that. So let's see, bear with me. So the more I studied the personality types, the more it's ministered for me. And initially it started because, you know, as you start to age and you approach a certain age in your life, you start to reassess yourself a little bit. I'm not that old, but I'm not that young either, you know, and I, you know, for me, it was all throughout my life, you go to school, you get promoted to the next grade, and then you get promoted to high school, and then you go to college, you know, you're all Asians here, so Chinese, right, most of us. What's next after college? You find a job, maybe get married, maybe buy a house, maybe have two kids and a dog, whatever it is. So throughout my life, I feel like I've always had this next step in front of me to look forward to. And then I came to a harsh stop. Like, what is next? You know, so that's going back about 3 years ago. I've been kind of reeling that into my mind. And I came to a point where, you know, I studied marketing. I studied marketing. I did advertising for a while. And it consumed me a little bit because I loved it. I really enjoyed it. And if I think back, I think what helped me enjoy it the most is to understand how to sell people, right? I'm not a salesperson, but in marketing and advertising, you're somewhat selling a product through, you know, pictures or words. But when I left that for nonprofits and had kids and started this whole family thing, I started to reassess myself and say, you know, what do I have to offer, really, to the body? Hi! Wow, thank you for coming. I try to reassess, what do I have to offer? What are my talents? What do I have? Like, and I realized, I don't think I have a lot going on. That was a harsh, you know, a reality, right? There's a point in your life, you're like, yeah, everything's going, you know what to do, and then boom, what's next? You know, and then I started to think, well, I'm not that good at stuff, then what can I do for God, really? What do I have to offer for God? And that was something that I've just been reassessing, and I continue to. And I hope I do through the rest of my life, is to continue to have that heart to keep asking that question and see what God can do, ultimately. So, you know, when Daniel approached me, it took me 2 weeks to say, okay, I'll do it. And I told him my topic, and he said, are you sure that's what you want to talk about? Is there anything else? And I said, no, this is it. And it's because it's been on top of my mind for such a long time now. So the topic is, what's your type? It's a personality type. And the thing is, we all have it. You're born with it. And the funny thing is, we can't really change it as much as we want it to without the help of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we're born with a natural personality, and that's mainly what we're going to talk about today. I'm not going to go into the spiritual aspect because I don't think I'm qualified enough. So we'll stick with this for now. So one thing before we go into our personality type is let's take a look at how God created us. Mankind was made in the image of God, and what does that really mean? For those of you sitting in this room, I think, you've seen this verse before. You know, God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness. So God created man in his image. And what does that really mean? What does that come with, right? It comes with God created us with certain qualities like the ability to reason, our intellect, the ability to form relationships. You know, that we can form relationships with ourselves and have a relationship with God. That's something that God gave us. And with that, he gave us our personalities. And, you know, this verse keeps coming back to me. And I had it on my PowerPoint, and I took it off, and I put it back on. And the reason is because, okay, so it says, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And throughout my Christian journey, I've seen this verse several times. But what kept nagging at me is I just wonder, you know, a lot of young people came to mind, is I wonder if, do they really know it with their soul? Right? It says, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. I know it very well. My soul knows it very well. But I kept thinking about young people, and I'm like, you know, it pains me when I hear on social media or something, the whole bullying thing and young people committing suicide. I think that happens more now, more so than ever. So I'm just sad that that happens, and I just wonder, does your soul know it well, that you are crafted by God, that you came with a set of personalities, and sometimes we don't acknowledge that enough. So let's take a deeper look before we go into us. I want to see who God was. You know, the Bible reflects a lot about the characteristic of God through Jesus. So what does that look like? So we know Jesus was strong, he was fearless, he was a bold leader, he had a specific mission. His ministry lasted for 3 years, but he knew where he was going, he knew the type of people that he was going to pick up and go with him, and he had a full vision for his church. So that's a lot like a leader type of a personality. But at the same time, we see Jesus being a people person. You know, I really didn't noticed this about Jesus before until I started to study a little bit more. So that Jesus is a people person. He's that guy that went to dinner parties, right? We see that. He's sitting with all sorts of different people, having conversations with them, having life conversations with them. Some people can't do that, but we see that in Jesus, and he's also able to captivate an audience. And I keep thinking about back in the days, how do you have 5,000 people come sitting on grass and just listening to one guy speak? And I don't even know how that could be amplified. I'm sure there's a way, and it's God, so it happens. But that he could captivate the audience of the people and get them listening and tuned in. So that's a person that has that, you know, a very people person kind of perspective. At the same time, he's also merciful, right? We talk about how he sat with the misfits, the tax collectors. He had a conversation with a prostitute by the well. He was merciful. He was compassionate. He knew how to read people. His disciples trusted him wherever they went. And he was also, he lived a perfect life. Detail-oriented, analytical, conscientious until the very last drop. In my studies, I was remembered how Jesus hung on the cross, you know, after being beaten, after carrying his cross, after being nailed to the cross, he still remembered in John that he needs to take that final drink. And then when he finally took it, then it's done. Imagine if you were there, would we even be in a good mind, the sense to even remember those kinds of details? But he remembered that, that every last prophecy written about him, he was going to fulfill. So those are the characters that we see in Jesus. But the difference here is Jesus manifested all of these equally. You know, it's very rare for us to see personalities where you have a strong, dominant leader, but also merciful and compassionate. Because usually when you see a dominant leader, they have a vision of what needs to be done, and it really doesn't matter who's in their way. They're not caring about your feelings. They don't care. They're going to move forward and do what they need to get done, right? Very rarely do you see someone that is very detail-oriented, that can also liven an audience. You know, these personality traits we usually don't see a mix of. Not that we don't have a mixture of them, but Jesus displayed all four equally. And I thought that was really interesting, especially with the strong leader, and usually we see them, they're just going to leave a lot of things behind because they're so focused on what they need to get done. But we need those kind of people. My heart is pounding. I have to remember you guys are just little kids. You know, I teach little kids, so like if I pretend you're kids, then it's okay. Okay. Jeez. All right. So for those of you that walked in a little bit late, before we move on, I really want to make sure you see what's on the screen. We talked a lot, before we go into our personal personality types and try to figure out each other, I want to have this up here, and let's just let that sink in, that Jesus displayed all four basic personality types equally, that he could be a leader, but also compassionate at the same time, that he could be analytical and detailed, but also can captivate an audience and really be the life of the party if you wanted to, right? We see that in the dinner parties, he's having conversations. So that's an equally balanced personality type that is in Jesus. So what we're going to do now is go into the different four basic personality types. And you probably have done some sort of a personality test yourself. You know, I have conversations with our church friends, and, you know, are you a Monica? Are you a Chandler? Are you a Ross, right? Or like, you know, I see the kids, they're like, no, I'm this Avenger, I'm that Avenger. And that's, you know, why do they do that? Why do we like to do that? Because we want to know about ourselves for some reason. And so this is probably not new to you. The Greek philosopher Hippocrates, I lived in 300, 400 BC. Make sure I had to remember that. He was a physician, and he was the first to observe that there were four personality types. There are blends, but it always comes back to these four, and it doesn't matter what kind of personality test you're taking, it stems from these four. He called it choleric, sanguine, phlegmatic, and melancholy. We're not going to use that today because we're not going to remember those words. There's another popular one out there called the DISC assessment. And I know a lot of us have taken that probably in the corporate level. You know, before you start a job, they might want to have you take a test. You're like, why are they asking me these questions? They're just trying to figure you out so that they know how to manage you. Or they know how you are so that you know how to manage other people, right? So you might have taken a corporate version of the DISC. There's another one, I think Myers-Briggs. There's like 14 facets or whatever, but it stems from these four. And what are they? For today, by the way, we're going to use the animals. It's easier to remember. We have the lion, which speaks for itself, you know, domineering, very strong, very powerful, and that's our lion guide. In the DISC assessment, it's dominant. Then we have the otter. Look at him. I found a wonderful picture. He's like just laying back, having a good time. He's playful. He's outgoing like the otter in the DISC assessment. That's the influencer. That's our party animal. He likes to talk a lot. Then we have the golden retriever, the steady guy. like Peter.
Peter's face is so good.
Today so he could calm me down, you know, be my steady guy. But he's the friendly, he's calm, he's supportive, like the golden retriever, always faithful, always there, always available, willing to help. Those are great people to be part of the body. Then we have the last one, the beaver. I didn't realize that beavers and otters look so similar, but beaver, I found one with a little stick in his, you know, beak or whatever it is that he has, and they're always building things, and they're the engineers of the world. They're the ones that's figuring things out. They like to take things apart and put it back together and create new things and cooler things, and like the beaver, right? The conscientious, they're trying to figure things out all the time, making things better. Four basic types. So, starting with the lion. His motto usually is, let's get moving. Favorite saying is, just do it my way and do it now. Snapshot description, he is the powerful person, he's the doer, and he's typically, if not always, an extrovert. Why? Because he has to get things done himself. I keep using he, but, you know, he, she, same. Okay, so what are some of the natural strengths? I think it's okay to recognize our strengths, by the way. You know, I think it's okay to recognize that God made us this way, right? Remember, we were made in the image of God, and with that, he gifted us with these cool personalities. So I think it's okay to do that. Okay, so strengths, what are some of them? Natural take charge leaders. They're goal-oriented, they're vision-driven, extremely decisive. They can look at a situation and have snap judgments and they go. Why? And usually they're right. It's like the cowboy, right? You know, they shoot from the hip and they get it right. Always. It's because they do it with their intuitive. They're intuitive with everything. But with that, we'll go into weaknesses later. They're bottom line people, doers, they're impact players. They are the ones that live this life and say, hey, while I'm here, let's get some stuff done. And it really doesn't matter. They don't, their goals are set this high. Like, you know, even I can't reach that high, but their goals are set high. And it really doesn't matter if they reach or not, even though they will. They will try. But their focus is, while I'm here, we're going to get something done. And with them, they'll take a bunch of people with them and try to get it done. They're very interested in the goal, less about people, right? They're intuitive, they're decisive, they make quick decisions, which can be a good thing if you're in a fire or, you know, earthquake, they know what to do, but could be bad too. We'll go over that later. They prefer, so if you're talking to a lion, they don't want to know the details, you know. They don't want, they want short answers, right? So if you, it's funny if you get like a beaver and a lion together, and the lion's like, hey, what time is it? The beaver will be like, hey, this is how you make a clock. And they go through the whole process. All that lion's like, oh, I just want to know what time it is. So it's funny when you see those interactions start to collide. But again, that's the body. So in order for us to work together, we really, really, I think, is important to kind of know one another, right? Know about ourselves and know about one another, and then we could help each other. They're highly competitive and they thrive on opposition. The funny thing with lions is, if you want to get a lion to do something, they probably didn't want to do it in the first place, but if you want that lion to do something, here's a Jedi mind trick. You tell them they can't do it. You tell them they can't do it, they'll be like, oh yeah, right, I'm gonna show you. So there's some Jedi mind trick about the lions. You know, they thrive on opposition. They are goal-oriented. You tell them there's the goal, they'll be like, I got it. Funny thing, they trust to impress. I think that's true. That's true. And pragmatic, they don't like theories. They like to watch the History Channel. They like to watch like the science stuff, right? There's, or, you know, things that have already been determined. Nothing theory. I don't want to talk about how you feel about things. I don't want to talk about your dreams, you know. Sometimes they do, but it's because of a blend. But usually they go on what's been proven. Tell me the facts. So that's a lot of strengths that lions have, and really great strengths. But with that, there are some weaknesses. They typically are workaholics. You know, a lion, if not checked, can focus on their job, their career. and neglect everything else because, again, they're focused on the job, for example. They could be control freaks, micromanagers maybe. If not checked, the lion can leave a lot of dead bodies behind because of their goal. Does that make sense?
Collateral damage.
Collateral damage. Not literal bodies, but you know, if they're literal bodies. But like, you know, of course, if they're like, you know, Viking saves, they'll be like slashing the guys and slashing, but we're not talking about that. In a corporate sense, get out of his way. If there's a goal, there's like the sales goal, or if there's this business that they have to win, if you're not on his team, just get out of the way, or else something will happen bad to you. Can't be manipulative, again, not because it's a malicious thing, but just they're goal-oriented, that's it, right? They set high standards and often viewed as insensitive. Hates to admit being wrong. Let me go back to the insensitive part. I think sometimes when you're dealing with, we'll look at someone that's a golden retriever later, really it's hurt. And the lion's like, I don't care. We're not here to be friends, you know, if not checked. So strengths and weaknesses. How do we balance out the lion? The lion needs to develop Christ's love and compassion for others. Right, we all have strengths, we all have weaknesses. And again, the purpose of today's workshop is knowing what we are and how does that look like in the body. So I think it's okay balancing out the lion. He needs to learn to have compassion for others. You know, in spite of those goals, which are not innately bad, but you have to watch for the people that are working alongside you. Do you need to work on the fruit of the spirit of love, joy, peace? Well, pretty much all of them, I think, but I'm going to highlight these. Patience and gentleness, right? Patience, you know? Maybe if the otter or the beaver wants to tell you how that clock was made, give him 5 minutes. It's okay. wait on the Lord to let the spirit lead. I think that's the one of the main things that, you know, in the body, lions tend to, because they act intuitively, and they're not wrong. Usually they're right, again, but they don't wait on the Lord and wait on God's timing. So that's ways to balance out the lion. And they need to learn to rest and relax sometimes. Lions usually can't rest. They have to do something all the time. You know, it's okay to rest and relax. But what is the lion's gift? There's a great gift here. It's leading and motivating people. It's to accomplish the goal, whatever that goal is. And if it's in the body of Christ and there's a goal to grow the church somehow, we need a lion in the midst to lead the people, okay, to have an impact. I can email this out, by the way. Okay, so next, this is the fun guy, the otter. His motto is life should be fun. Lighten up. Don't be so serious. It'll be okay. Wow. Right. You're going to see another personality type, the one that's like, how? This guy's like, it'll be fine. Snapshot is he's the popular one, the talkative one, also an extrovert. Some of the strengths of the otter, you might know some of them. You know, I know we're going to have the tendency to start to profile each other now. Don't do it yet. I'll have a time for that later. Because no one person is all lion. That doesn't exist. We're all a blend, okay? And that's what is cool, is that God gave each of us a special blend. So that's what makes us unique. But the otter, if you typically have an otter lifestyle, you know, you're very charming, you're friendly, you're the person, or if you ever have an otter standing next to you in line, they're the one that's like, oh, what are you buying there? Where did you get it? You know, it reminds me of Abby, she's funny. Like, I had a scarf on, and she's like, ooh, I love this thing, I love this. She reminds me of an otter, right? You know, she wants to know, like, ooh, the funny thing about otters is they get into your personal space without knowing it. Because that's how they are. They're super friendly. We need that. You know, they're the ones that's like, they want to know about you. They'll sit there and they'll listen. Actually, no, let me take that back. They'll sit there, they think they're listening, but they're actually talking. That's the otter. They're like, oh, great conversation. You're like, I didn't say anything. right? But they're talking all about everything. They're people loving, they're schmoozers. You know, if you have a party and you want to get people talking, invite two otters. Don't put them together, because they'll talk to each other all night. Put them on separate sides of the room, you're gonna have a nice party. Okay, that's a little tidbits about life. They like to talk and be the life of the party. They love bright colors. They're wonderful storytellers. They actually make really great pastors because they're able to be anecdotal. They're able to take life and present it in a way where it's lively, right? Think about how Jesus did it. He was able to take a situation and speak life into it. I mean, somehow it's colorful. A lot of speakers that make you feel good, what are they called?
Motivational speakers
are otters. Actresses, actors are otters. They're wonderful on stage, good storytellers. Public speakers, they're very curious. Again, they get into your personal space. They want to see what you have. Great salesperson, good networker. They use salesman type. They could sell anything to you, right? They're good at it. And they make you feel like this is the best thing you just bought. Another thing about otters that I'm reminded of is when you were, you know, young and back in the days when you could wash cars in your driveway, you know, there's that kid that always makes chores look fun. That's the otter. They're the ones like, hey guys, let's wash my dad's car. And guess who's getting paid after that? It's the otter, but none of the kids know. For them, this is the best, you know, 5 o'clock game ever, right? That's the otter. They're able to get people to do cool things, and they make it look fun. They have a desire to be popular and accepted. Some of the weaknesses, they tend to lack organization. You know, they're so busy talking and having a good time and interacting with people, they forget what they were doing in the first place. Why was I here? What was I doing? A lot of details can be forgotten. That's not a word, but they're impulsive, excitable, great starter, poor finishers. They have tons of ideas. You get an otter into a think tank, tons of ideas. Get an otter to do it. They're not great at finishing, but that's, I think, knowing it is half the battle, or I said it before. Avoids the fine print, forgets details, always wants something new. They form many, many friends, but shallow friendship. It reminds me of a friend I used to have. We used to go to the mall, and my friend wants to go to every single store to say hi to her friends. Like, every store has a friend that she uses or acquaintances or put, you know. Like, you go on LinkedIn, she knows this person because it's like some degrees of separation. Everyone knows someone, right? That's the otter. For another personality type, it could be super annoying. This is like another one that was interesting. Quickly attracted to the opposite sex. If you have, if you're still dating, or if you have kids that are otters, just be mindful of it, you know, because they're so excitable, because they're so sociable, they find themselves kind of making an impulsive move that maybe they'll regret later. So just something to be careful of. Good to know. How do we balance out the otter? They need to force themselves to be organized. If you're a parent of an otter child, I think I have one, but I'm not sure yet. You gotta force them. And even if you force them, it's gotta be like all the time. We have to rear that child into a pattern to be organized. But they're not naturally organized. That's okay. They have their strengths. But one of their weaknesses is they're not organized, and let's help otters balance that out. They need to follow through with what they have started. So if there's a goal, lions are great at that goal. Otters are like, goal, when I get around to it. They need to practice diligence. And one way for the otter to form more relationships that are deeper is to practice talking less, right? Otters usually think that they're connecting with someone, but they forget that they're the only ones talking. So if you're an otter or you have otter tendencies, you know, be mindful of that and talk half as more as you used to in order to form that friendship. So that you can hear what the other person is really trying to say. and to become sensitive to others, learn to be a better listener. But what's an otter's gift? Make life and work fun. Simple, but it's so cool. We have an otter at our church. I'm not going to say who, but man, this person makes gatherings just so much more fun. And when you have an otter in the midst, even when it seems like it's like a daunting task, for example, spring cleaning, I know, this person seems to make it funner. Funner. So we need that person around too. All right, the golden retriever. His motto is be faithful. Favorite saying is, all right, don't get too excited. It's not a big deal, guys. It's okay. It's chill. Okay, that's the even, steady characteristic trait of a golden retriever. They're typically peaceful. They're watchful. Usually introverts. But again, not if we're not all completely a retriever. So if we have a little bit of that otter, they could be a little bit more outspoken. But usually, golden retrievers are watchers. They're always looking and trying to see what can I do to help. Strengths, they are the most adaptable of the four personality types. Golden retrievers usually appear to be Christians even before they are. Because they're just so nice and they're so calm and, you know, so adaptable. The golden retriever is the easiest of the character traits to get along with the other ones because of their adaptability. They can deal with the strong dominant trait of the lion or the otter trait. They're easiest personality. They're full of compassion. They're very loyal. Steady, consistent, they're faithful, dependable. In a body where, you know, a church body, having a golden retriever around, you know that the job will get done. It's, you say it, and you can say, here you go, and that retriever will get it done. That's always dependable. Has a great listening, and it can empathize. Avoids conflicts, though. I'll talk about that as a strength, but it's also, it's a strength and a weakness, right? One, it's always a counterbalance of each other. They avoid conflicts. And that's why they're also adaptable, is to avoid the conflict. You see how that works? It's like, it's like a struggle all the time. You might not be happy with it, but they'll adapt to it. They're calm, they're unexcited, they're usually in control of their stress. They have a dry sense of humor, like that. They're practical, neat, efficient, everything's always in place. They have high standards of accuracy. That's not the only trait that has that, by the way. But the difference with the golden retrievers, they do make lifelong friends. A lot of golden retrievers have friends that they've been friends with since they were little kids because they do make that connection and they keep it because they are faithful and loyal and calm, and they don't really rock the boat too much, and they make that deep friendship really quick, really well, but not too many friends, but sustaining friends that last throughout a lifetime. Can be good counselors and leaders and good bosses too, believe it or not. Golden retrievers, they need to get over a few things, and I'll talk about that in the weakness, but because of their compassion towards people, different than the lion, the golden retriever, once they get over certain introvertive shynesses, once they get over that, they can make a great leader. Has a strong need for close relationships, but they also have a quiet will of iron. And what that means is, with golden retrievers, they are adaptable. You can kind of push them and push them, and you push them over time, but there's a point where if you push too far, you don't know when that point is, by the way, but there is a point, you push too far, you are dead to them. Now, you don't want to go that far. You know, they will stop. They will, like, shut that down. Usually, you see that with retrievers that are a little bit older. They learn to say no more, but as a young retriever, because you're just so nice, usually, they don't really say no. But as a result, as a result, you know, later on in life, they build this wall sometimes. And I think it's because they hold strongly to what they feel is right. Weaknesses, they have a deep need to please people, a deep need to not rock the boat or really piss anyone off. You know, they don't really want to, sometimes they hold in their true feelings too much because they don't want to make anyone feel bad. But that's a weakness sometimes because as a result, you're not really sharing your feelings, your thoughts. Maybe you do have some good ideas, but you're not sharing it. So that's holding back, really. So that could be a weakness. They struggle with fear and timidity. They have a hard time making decisions, you know? So like if you get two golden retrievers and you say, what do you want for lunch? It's like, oh, what do you want? Oh, I don't know, Chinese. Oh, yeah, okay. You know, they go back and forth. You know, the lion will be like, yeah, sushi, that's it. That's where I'm going. Okay? The golden retriever is like, yeah, you know, they're 5 minutes outside. They're still trying to decide where they want to go. And then it's like, you know, which location, who wants to drive? Oh, my goodness, it could take forever. But, you know, they tend to not, it just decision making. They can't just get to it. They dislike change. They want to stay in the same environment. And maybe that will be tough to take a retriever and put them out of their current environment. But sometimes retrievers need to challenge themselves. So how do we balance the retriever out? Their natural compassion for people, we said that they can be made great leaders after they get out of their shyness. So something to work towards. They need to try new things and try to find things to motivate themselves. You know, because if we get so comfortable with where we are, it's easy to never grow. We just stay where we are because it's just fine. You can keep doing the same thing over and over again. But then at the same time, you never grow. So retrievers need to find out, you know, what motivates them. Can't stay in the same place. They need to learn to make decisions and say no sometimes when it's appropriate. It's okay to say no, retrievers. It's okay. One of the things that retrievers need to do is to have faith in God. I think retrievers, because everything needs to follow a certain comfortable pattern, they don't really get outside of that comfort zone, so there's no reliance on God, right? There's no faith in God. Allow God to help them overcome inhibitions and be more outgoing. But what are the retriever's gifts? They're caring, they're loyal, they're dependable. And we need that in the church. We need that in a body. Caring, loyal, and dependable. Okay. So last one, I was gonna just give 5 minutes for each trait. Okay, so the last one is the beaver. He's always a be prepared person. Be prepared, the favorite saying, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing it right. You know, they're the thinker, they're typically introverts, typically. It's like the Boy Scout, right? They always have, like, they know exactly what to do. They're the guys that, like, have, you know, the Army knife, Swiss Army knife. Like, does anyone, you know, we know that guy. Amos. I know. Like, it's funny because I came here early. Just trying to set up, and of course we didn't have, you know, certain things set up. We didn't know how to get this thing down. We're just okay. And then Amos comes walking in, and he knew exactly what to do. And I was like, yeah, let's just sit back here. Let's just see Amos work, you know. And he, you know, Amos and Dan. It's so funny. Like when you start to like see people a certain way, you start to recognize their strengths, and you can praise God for that. Like, wow, thank God we have a brother like Amos around, you know? He knows what to do. He's an engineer, the engineering mind. Conscientious, they have a strong need to do things about the book. They like to read manuals and figure things out. Charts, data, Excel sheets. Yeah, that's like awesome for the for the beaver. Yeah, maps. They want to know where to go. They're serious. They're deep thinkers. Because usually when you have a question and you're contemplating, a beaver has already thought about that and has already chewed on it for a long time. You usually have an answer for things. They are creative and appreciative of beauty. Highly intelligent. And they are genius prone. A lot of, in my studying this, a lot of musicians, actually, the old composers were beavers. because they're so detailed and so and they appreciate the creativity of it, and it takes years to compose a masterpiece, but it spawns from this personality type, and I would have never thought about that. But I don't know, Professor Wong would say that's like a Beaver type, right? They make conscientious friends, lifelong friends, but they make them conscientiously. So different than the otter, who is everyone's friend, everyone knows everyone. The beaver usually is like, I know this friend, and you could go to this guy because I trust him. And you're like, yeah, I believe this guy because, you know, he's a beaver. I know I could trust him. They usually are emotionally reserved, self-sacrificing, but reserved. So beavers, the funny thing is, they are very compassionate, but you can't tell sometimes because they're reserved. Researchers, they dig for the truth. They're highly organized, compassionate for others. But again, can't tell sometimes. Weaknesses, they can be impractical because of the perfectionistic traits. You know, everything needs to be perfect, so they can be impractical. And it can take a long time to get to the final project because it's got to be perfect. Skeptical, beavers can see the problem with something before. It might not even be a problem, but the beaver can see it, right? Like, they're prepared so far in ahead that they could, you know, if you have a plan, they'd be like, yeah, at step 5 of 25, there's something wrong here. You know, you got to fix that before we can go on. Beavers have that foresight to see things, but it also leads to a pessimistic nature, right? They don't show emotions very well, and it can be viewed as cold, but it's not. So if you are working with a beaver, keep that in mind. Right? It doesn't mean that that person is standoffish. Keep it in mind. That's their personality. Hard time forgiving, and they turn anger inwards. So something for beavers to remember. One of the things to balance out the beaver is you can't hold others to your high expectations, high standards, especially if you have children. And I, you know, again, going back to when Daniel was asking me about, would I be willing to lead a workshop? And this is the only thing I had in mind. It was also the same month and week where I was trying to get Ryan, my 10-year-old, to do a project that they have to do. And I was telling my group, like, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed out because I'm trying to get Ryan to do this project. And I got, like, Monday you're doing this, Tuesday you're doing this, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And he just won't do it. Like, I have this plan set up. And why can't you just do it? Right? And, you know, he got some, like, wrath out of me. And then I was convicted that very same week, you know, that, gosh, if God dealt with me in the way I'm dealing with my son, I would have been blown away to smithereens, right? Forget about, you know, I completely, God convicted me and said, you know, where's your compassion and your gentleness, your patience? And I failed to kind of recognize some of the stuff that he has, you know, because in my strength, God showed me my weaknesses. I think that's, you know, if there's anything that you get out of today, it's not just looking at us and figuring out who we are. It's really, you know, let God see. He gave you strengths. But there's, with it, with our strengths, it's that counterbalance, right? Sometimes our strengths lead straight into our weaknesses, and we have to let God balance us out. So for the otter, for the beaver, they need to develop the fruit of joy. Get over self-analysis. And, you know, beavers tend to stay, when they are sad or depressed, they can stay there for a while. Otters, they're up and down all the time, highly emotional. But they, you know, an otter can be sad one moment, and the next moment, they could be your best friend again, and they forget, and they forgive and forget really easily. A beaver will hold grudges, and you don't even know it. And sometimes they'll stay in that place of depression for quite a while. So something to pray for beavers to pray for that joy in what they do. They need to walk with meekness and humility to counteract all the stuff that they know. You know, again, beavers usually are that genius prone type of personality. They know a lot. They know a lot about everything. But to balance them out, to walk with humility. The gift. They are the ones that they don't settle for anything but the best, right? We have So yeah, so that's the beaver. They always strive for perfection and do their very best. So imagine now that we put all of these things together, we have these four types. The lion, imagine if, so going back to our body, of the body of Christ, you know, you have to, after you, if you look at this deeper than beyond today, you'll recognize that God really put a good team together, right? You know, if everyone were like lions, we'd just be chomping on each other's head all the time. Nothing will get done because you're turf oriented too, you know? You don't want anyone to stomp on your turf, so nothing will get done. Same thing with the otters. If we're all otters, we'd all have fun playing around all day long, but nothing gets done. You know, if we're all golden retrievers, we'll be like too worried about how you feel. You know, are you okay? No, are you chill? Are you okay? So, well, we can't make up our minds. Nothing gets done. If we were all beavers, things can't get done because nothing is ever good enough. Isn't that funny? But if we put that all together, we have the lion to lead. We have the beaver to orchestrate, to kind of be that engineering mind, to make good, to see it, to see the problems before it even happens. We have the otter that makes it fun. Like spring cleaning, otters like yeah. You know, they make it seem fun. And we need that to light the mood. God gave us that person as a gift to the body. You have the golden retriever. Anytime the other three weird personalities get in the way, the golden retriever's like, "Hey guys, calm down. It's okay, right?" They bring it back to a good place. So that's. We started to see how, as a body, we all benefit from this. But at the same time, we need to know our weaknesses, too. So, to wrap it all up, and then we have something else. Every personality has strengths and weaknesses. But as Christ comes into our life and the Holy Spirit starts to work within us, he's going to accentuate our strengths and balance out our weaknesses. But the first step is knowing what they are. And be mindful of it, allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you of it and start to correct ourselves. Be mindful when you go off your temperament extremes. We all have them. And recognize others for their strengths and help them balance out their extremes. Okay. Let me see. I totally went off my notes. Let me see if I missed anything. Oh yeah, so what's your type? When I was sharing with Bex, I'm like, you know what? I think I'm gonna make everyone that comes to my workshop take a personality test. So you're gonna all take a personality test. Is that okay? Yeah? Okay. It's a really simple one. And we'll talk a little bit more after we're done. But you know, if you've never taken one of these tests.
Yes, she profiled me.
Who's never taken one of these before? Really? Okay. Oh, really? Okay. You may have taken a type. If not, you probably were on Facebook one day and like, "Hey, are you a Ross? Are you a Monica?" So that's a type of personality test. This is quite simple. I've taken a detailed DISC personality test, and I took this, which will take about 10 minutes. It's about the same. I'll tell you why. Because your personality doesn't change very much. God gave that personality to you. It really doesn't change your innate personality. But as this Holy Spirit comes within you, he can start to balance it out. So you see the difference. So when you're taking this test, do your best to be, you gotta be honest, right? Honest with yourself. Please take this test. Don't have someone in mind, and that's not you, okay? Make sure you put who you are down, not your hero or the person you wanna become, but put you, like, who are you? And you know, some people have gone through some kind of life experience that might throw off their personality. If that has happened, try to go back to when you were a kid. How did you think? How did you function? We want to try to get to the root of who you are now, who you're born with, not, you know, stuff that how you changed. Okay.
okay? But it really doesn't change too much. I've tried this several times. So there's two pages. I'm going to start from the size, and then eventually you'll all get the same. There's two, though. One is the survey, and then one is the scoring sheet.